Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View from Here. I have been away from the game that I love for almost 15 years. I'm trying to get back to it. I'm trying to play golf again. Trying is the operative word here. Physical maladies and the myriad vicissitudes of life have conspired to take me away and keep me away from the game. Now that some of those barriers have fallen, I have decided to give it a go. I want to see if I can enjoy it again. That's why I quit, after all, because it had stopped being fun. I used to be good. I used to play to a 7 handicap. More importantly, I loved the game. I loved being in a very green space with a white ball at my feet and a target in the distance. It was archery, and it was zen, and it was contemplation. I played early in the day and often. When I was just learning the game, I would rise at 4:30 in the morning, first light, with the robins, and make my way to the course in South Minneapolis. It wasn't open for business yet, but that didn't matter. I teed off into the morning mist, and everything was possible. I had never been more focused. I had never been more in the moment. I had never been happier. Me and the ball and the target. I played 18 holes before 7 a.m., showered, fed myself, and was at my drawing board before 9. I thought of toys and games until 5, and then practiced for an hour after work. I was 23 and selfish enough to indulge my thorough preoccupation with the game. When Mary and Suzanne, 7-year-old Suzanne, came back into my life, the world changed. You don't take 4 hours out of your day to play a game when a little girl is counting on you. My available time was for Suzanne. I learned that there are bigger things in life than 5-foot putts. We did homework together, and we watched cartoons, and we shopped on Clark Street. We adored each other. When she grew up, I went back eagerly to the game. I played with 3 great guys. We had the dawn tee times at Glencoe on Chicago's North Shore. It's a lovely course, old and short and full of quirks. You could shoot a great score there, and you could card a train wreck. 2 of my buddies ran an accounting firm that serviced some of the bigger not-for-profits in Chicago. The other managed the Old Town School of Folk Music and then the Chicago Sinfonietta. We were all made for each other. Same humor, same politics, and an insane love for the game. We walked and carried our bags. No motorized carts for us. One of the 5 great sounds in the world is the sound of your clubs clattering as you walk up a fairway on a cool, quiet, early morning. The course happened to be on one of the flight paths into O'Hare, so if the wind was right, it was commonplace to be standing over your shot with a 747 roaring over your head. After the 9/11 attacks, air traffic suspended, it was quiet for weeks. I will never forget quiet golf in a busy city. I live in a mostly quiet town now. When I go to the practice range at Viroqua Hills, there is no air traffic. There are usually only 1 or 2 of us hitting balls, and we don't talk at all. When you are totally immersed in the pursuit of a well-struck shot, why would you talk about anything? So I practice. I practice, and I practice. I'm not ready to play yet. When I can stand at my ball and not think about the swing process, then I'll be ready to play the game. Thinking is the enemy of contemplation, and contemplation forms the golf swing. I spent a pile of money for new clubs, clubs that are lighter than air and built for the older player. They are wonderful. I now have the tools to actually get back out there. I can't wait. But I know what happens when you rush things in golf. You miss the target, or even worse, you shank it. So I will take my time, get my short game back in shape, and go for it. I will play again, I am sure of that. That little guy, walking up the first fairway with a blissed-out grin on his face, that'll be me.